But he says, if you want to win, you have to exercise, the 25, verse 25, self-control in all things. You have to discipline yourself if you want to win in this race. It's a spiritual discipline. Dying to yourself is the equivalent of what the marathon runner. See, a marathon runner, for example, is very careful about what he eats. Because if he eats whatever he likes and puts on a lot of weight, he's not going to win in the race. And if he's not practicing every day, he will not win in the Olympics. If he's lazy to train for the race, he will not win. So it says here, everyone who competes in games, verse 25, exercises self-control in all things. I've seen that many believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, genuinely filled with the Holy Spirit, because they prayed, and they still don't grow spiritually because they don't exercise self-control. Being filled with the Spirit and taking up the cross must go together. This is what the Lord showed me when I began to seek the Lord as a young man. I used to go to an assembly that did not preach the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They preached the study of the Word. So I studied the Word. I was thankful for that. When I read the Word, I found that John the Baptist said that Jesus will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, the first two promises in the New Testament. The very first two promises in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21, Jesus will save you from all your sins. Not forgive your sin, save you from your sins. Every sinful habit, he can save you. That's the first promise in the New Testament, Matthew 1:21. And the second promise is telling us how he will do it. How will he do it? Matthew 3:11. He will immerse you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's what I sought the Lord for. And the Lord met with me. But I realized that I have to continue in that all the time. You know, like a charcoal fire. It won't just burn forever. You got to keep stoking it and putting more charcoal in, and then it keeps burning. Or even a wood fire. You've got to put wood in. So this fire of the Holy Spirit, we've got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to experience that continuous fire. And then we have the strength to run the race. So, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22 and 23 is self-control. Self-control means when somebody provokes me to anger, I can keep quiet. When somebody doesn't forgive me, I can forgive him. That's self-control. If somebody yells at you and you yell back, obviously you don't have self-control. You're not running the race. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. So everyone who is serious about this race to follow Jesus must exercise self-control. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot control ourselves. Self-control means controlling this big ruler in our heart called self. Self is easily offended, hurt. And you've got to put self in the proper place. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. And if I do that in the different situations in life, I'll make progress in the race. Little by little by little by little, and one day I finish. Come to the finishing line. And so, Paul says here, I also am running in such a way, not without any aim. I've got a definite goal. You know, every race, whether it's 100 meters or a marathon race, they know there's a finishing line somewhere and this is the track to go there, and they never go outside the track. It's a waste of time going out there. You just stay in the track and get to the finishing line, whether it's 100 meters or a 40-kilometer marathon race. There's a goal. We work towards it. So he says, I don't run in such a way as without aim. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, lovingly, do you have an aim in your Christian life? When you send your children to school, the kindergarten, you encourage them to have an aim. You must learn the alphabet. You must learn to read. Gradually you must learn addition. And then you go to first standard. And then you have an aim. You got to study some new subjects. And every standard, there is an aim. There is a race to be run. And that's how a student goes all the way to 10th standard and finishes school and then goes to PUC or 11th and 12th. And then goes to college. We all have a name. All of you who are working today, you wouldn't be working today if you didn't have a name. And in the Christian life also, you must have an aim. And I want to tell you that aim should be, that you want to become more and more Christ-like. Not necessarily every day, say over a period of a year, or at least 2 or 3 years, you become more Christ-like. And if you're married, the best person who can tell you is your marriage partner. You ask your husband or your wife, and they'll tell you whether you've become more Christ-like in the last 2 or 3 years. Or whether you're the same stubborn, selfish person who's only thinking about yourself. Even your children will probably be able to tell you. Now, you don't have to ask them, but I think you know what they think about you because you know how you have been behaving. And even in your office, the people around you who work with you in the office will be able to give a testimony about you, whether you conduct yourself in a Christ-like way. It's not how successful you are in your business or how much money you make. Those are not the tests. The test is, how much have I reflected Christ in my place of work? That is the mark of success in our Christian life. In the world, they evaluate success by how much money did you make? How much did your business prosper? How much promotion did you get in your job? How much did your salary increase? But for a Christian life, how much did I reflect the life of Christ in my place of work? More and more, then you're running the race. Are you going backward? That means at one time you were more Christ-like and now you're not. But many married couples, it's like that. Many married couples, in the first year of their married life, they have behaved in a Christ-like way to each other, and see them 5 years later and they are fighting and quarreling with each other. Which way are they going? They're going backwards. And only because they're not willing to die to themselves when they are insulted or provoked or tempted. So he says, I run in such a way, not without aim. I've got an aim. And so, verse 27, I discipline my body and I make it my slave. What that means is, when I'm provoked by somebody to anger, my body says, I want to speak back to him in the same way. And I say, no. Tongue, keep quiet. That's disciplining my body. Otherwise, you're not the master of your body. Your tongue is the master. Or it could be your eyes. And your eyes, men especially, you're tempted to look at something. Or nowadays you can see filthy things even on your phone. Look at something and you tell your eyes, no, you're not going to be the master in my life. I'm going to be the master. I'm going to tell you what to look at and what not to look at. I'm going to tell you what type of stuff you should read and what you should not read. I'm going to tell you what type of movies you should see and what you should never see. Most of today's movies you should never see. That is to run the race. It's a daily affair. You may not see much progress in a day, but over a period of 5 years, People will be amazed if they hadn't seen you for 5 years. Supposing someone had some other believer had not seen you for 5 years and sees you and say, wow. See, that brother has really become Christ-like since the last time I saw him. Isn't that a good testimony for the glory of God? Not for your glory, no, no, no. If you seek your glory, you destroy yourself. But that Jesus Christ and the angels can rejoice that there's a brother or sister who's glorifying Christ in his life. So Paul says, I discipline my body. I make it my slave. And one paraphrase of that verse is, verse 27, my body does not tell me what I should do. I tell my body what it should do. I tell my eyes where to look, and I tell my tongue what to speak. And I tell my inward being how to respond to different provocations. And if I don't do that, it says in verse 27, I can preach to so many people. And when I come to the end of the race, the Lord will say, disqualified. Imagine running a race and coming to the end of it. Marathon races, even the world record is about 2 hours, some few minutes. Imagine running a race for 2 or 3 hours with all your effort and all the training, and at the end the referee says you're disqualified. That'd be terrible. Imagine somebody trained for the Olympic Games for years and years and years, finally was selected to represent his country in the Olympic Games and ran the marathon race with all his heart. And at the end, even though he came pretty high quickly, and the referee says you're disqualified because down there you made a foul. He says, I can be disqualified. Even the Apostle Paul says at the end of the race, I could be disqualified. Because he did not follow the rules. In many of the races within the stadium, they have a rule that you must stay within your lane. If you go outside your lane, you're disqualified. But some person may carelessly go outside the lane and come first, and the referee says, you're not first. Down there, at that particular point, you went outside your lane. In the Christian life, when we go outside the lane, we can set it right by immediately asking God to forgive us. And the Lord says, okay, forgiven, now continue the race. My dear brothers and sisters, please take this seriously. I've taken it seriously and it has made my life supremely happy. It's not a strain. It's more of a strain when you live in sin. It's not a strain when you set everything right. I mean, I look at sin like a thorn comes into my foot. Well, I don't know what I do when a thorn comes into my foot. As soon as possible, I take it out. If I accidentally cut my hand, as soon as possible, I try and wash it or put some medicine or something. If you break a bone, as soon as possible, you fix it. These simple rules, if you do it, you remain healthy. And the same thing in the Christian life, as soon as possible, set it right. Make that a law in your life from today. That when your conscience tells you there was something you did wrong, as soon as possible, set it right. Then you'll never be disqualified at the end of the race.